the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Not Professor Plum, actually, this hour. It is Terry Keyes with me, Johnny Dean. We're getting started right away with the second hour of Bucket Strategy Investing. Where has the time gone today?
I'm only an hour away from heading to the airport to join Professor Plum.
That's right. We'll tell you why Terry is
here. Finish up here at the end of the hour and on.
The hurricane has started.
Hurricane's in and out today. I'm on my way to Vegas.
Okay, well, hang on now. Time to get things
moving. I hope Rick is not going to the buffet ahead of me, though. That's what I hope he waits for me. You have a visual picture now of Rick and I at the all-you-can-eat buffet in Las Vegas tonight, don't you?
And it's just going to be picking up the pieces after that. All right, let's get things going. We have our associate professor, McCoy, associate professor.
Yes, exactly.
Our learned colleague, Terry Keyes, back again, sitting in today for Professor Rick Plum, who is in Las Vegas, and as Terry will be tomorrow. We'll tell you more about that coming up. We're here in studio, though, this hour, talking about what's important to you, standing by, helping you with your most pressing money questions. And we've got a lot of things to talk about this hour. We're going to take your phone calls, of course, to start the got some people on hold. You need to take part in the show, okay? Our number here in studio, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We just have a couple of lines open right now, but we take phone calls first, so get your money questions ready. You want to give us a call. As for those emails, we'll try to get to some this hour. You can send your questions and comments here to us at wealthed.com. It's right there at the Find Your Answer link. Brain Trust is here in the form of Terry Keyes. Standing by, we can talk to you both on the air and off the air. We want to keep in mind that the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, who are going around the country right now, can help you out with your own individual situation. If you want a personalized bucket strategy, you get in touch with Terry Keyes or Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Their off-air number, make note of this, 800-644-1150. They'll set you up with your own bucket strategy. They do have an entire network of Brain Trust advisors. They're all ready to help you out. So again, off air, the number is 800-644-1150. Say hi to Terry. You can maybe even give him a call right after the show. Maybe he'll take your call before he heads off to the airport. I don't know.
How apropos is it that we have a call from Las Vegas right now, John?
Well, there you go.
Just coincidentally.
Well, fine. I'll tell you what. Do you want to bring him on?
Jason, how are you today?
Good. How you doing today?
You going to come and see Rick and I tomorrow?
Sounds good.
All right. Come and see us. What's your question? What's your question, Jason?
We're going to buy a house, but we're going to assume the loan, just take over the payments of the loan. Right. And I was wondering if I could still write off the interest, even though at the end of the year, the interest statement is going to go to the original owner.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm going to defer to your I want you to get from a tax professional advice, but let me tell you, if that person that's going to let you take over the payments, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not going to take the deduction and they'll give you a copy of the statement at the end, ask your tax professional if they're okay with you taking it and explaining it to the IRS when you file. You may get a yes answer. You may get a no answer. I would do whatever a tax professional tells you to do. I do know of a situation years ago where someone did exactly what you're doing and the IRS allowed it, but that was a long time ago. And things tend to change. So I know it's not the entire answer you want to hear, but I would definitely ask a tax professional if they would support you in doing this and under those conditions that I just stated.
Do you think it would automatically create an audit if I did that?
It might create a
correspondence with your, and I just think it's great if on your CPA's letterhead or a response from a certified public accountant responds to them and explains who have, are you taking title to the home?
We are taking title to the home.
Yeah, see, that helps a lot. I just think it goes a long way in the correspondence. I wouldn't do this for the next 10 years. Do you plan on assuming the loan at some point?
I think we're going to try to have the loan stay because of the interest rate. It's such a good interest rate for 10 years. If the owners sign over a document saying that we can write off the interest, would that be sufficient for the IRS, do you think?
That's a question for your tax professional. I'm okay with it, but okay. I'll tell you to go ahead and do it. If you were my client as your financial advisor, I'd be meeting with you and your CPA to discuss this and see about what
you're
doing.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a question of who you get in an audit too, because there are some agents that have freedom to sort of say, well, this isn't any big deal, but there are others who might say, you know, this really isn't allowed, we're going to go look into it, so...
And I'm just amazed that the person, you know, letting you pay the loan over the next 10 years is allow. They're going to allow you to. They're going to keep be on their credit for the next 10 years, Jason.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
There's a 5-year window and then a 5-year option. That's what we're negotiating right now.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, I would. I know it's going to probably they're going to charge you for a visit or something, but I would talk to a certified public accountant.
Yep. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Jason. All right.
Thanks
buddy.
For the call, Jason. You said you doing this where they're somebody is entitled to the mortgage deduction. Was this person also paying but the other person was paying the mortgage, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it was two family members. One brother sold his condominium to his other brother who was leaving the state, and so the brother didn't have the down payment at the time, so he said, look it, I'll just the brother leaving the state just didn't want to make the payments anymore because he wanted to buy a new house. So the one brother said, okay, well, I'll make the payments for the next couple of years. And then over the next 2 years or so, the brother that assumed the mortgage financed the house himself, paid off the loan for the other brother.
Bought it.
And all that, basically bought the house. But had a legal document, a quit claim deed on the home, right?
Yeah.
So did own the home. That's why I asked this gentleman if he did that. He said he's doing that as well.
Right.
Had a written statement between the two brothers that the one brother would get the deduction, the other one wouldn't take it. And in that particular situation, it worked. When I explained it to the Professor Plum one day, he was amazed. He couldn't believe that someone actually did it.
That someone did it? What? And
that the IRS allowed it, yeah. So
did the IRS actually question it?
That was 1991 or 1992. So that's why I was explaining it to Jason. You know, in today's world, I'd go back and...
Well, that was the start of the kinder, gentler IRS. Remember that?
Yeah. I would love to see what a CPA says. And then secondly... what the IRS says to the CPA if in fact did this, you know.
All right, so we're going to get into. I don't have time this segment, but I think next segment we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you guys talk about at the workshops. I'll reiterate for what you said last hour. We'll get into that after the break, but I want to get to an email from Dorothy in Portland. Who's wondering, Dorothy says, I'm wondering if it makes sense, this is on a separate sheet. I'm wondering if it makes sense for me to buy an annuity. I'm 73, I receive Social Security, but I have no pension. I own my own home, and I have about $30,000 in cash as my savings. I can pay my bills, but I have little money left over, and some extra income would be nice.
I'm a little confused. Does she want to buy the annuity with the last $30,000 she has?
Apparently so. She's got $30,000. That's her savings.
Yeah, so if you buy an annuity, you're going to get about $2,400 a year for the rest of your life from that $30,000. If you buy an immediate annuity today, you're going to get
age 73.
Yeah, she's going to get about $200 a month for the rest of her life income, and she loses the $30,000 and now has no savings whatsoever. If I'm understanding the email correctly, John.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. No,
she gets Social Security.
No. And by the way, 73 is kind of borderline. I don't know if I'd buy an immediate annuity at 73. And also, we're at all-time low in interest rates. Immediate annuities, which would be the best option for someone in this situation, not a deferred variable annuity with a lifetime income rider. An immediate annuity would be the best choice. But immediate annuities are based on two things. You've heard me say this many times, John. Interest rates and age, okay?
Now, the age for her...
She's getting there. I like to see people over 75.
Because the payout is great.
Yeah, the higher you get a higher payout.
Sure.
But remember, when you get a high payout of, say, 8%, 9% of the amount of money that you put in, you're basically getting your own money back.
And okay? That's why you're better
to live long. The only time you beat the insurance company is if you live long, right. So you really want to start them when you're over age 75, and you don't want to start it when you're at a 45-year low in interest rates. You know, no one follows the 10-year treasury closer than I do. 1.735 when the market opened this morning. I don't know what it's at now because we've been on the air.
It's close to that.
Yeah, 1.735. You know, that's almost an all-time low in interest rates. You've got the Fed talking about negative interest rates.
How do interest rates affect it? Just explain if you would. You said, and Professor has said this too, how do interest rates affect what's being paid on an immediate
So the day you ask the insurance company to quote you what they'll pay you, they've got to go out and look and see what they can earn. And if 10-year treasury is an all-time low, they're earning the least amount they've ever earned.
Yeah.
So that gets passed on to you as the consumer. It's as simple as that. So if interest rates are low, I've said this before. Again, you know, I love to say crazy things and make crazy statements. I personally think that immediate annuities during the last 4 to 5 years should be outlawed by the insurance commissioners in all 50 states.
During the last 4 to 5 years?
Yeah, because of we hit the all-time interest rate lows over the last 4 or 5, 6 years. They should have just banned them. I mean, I saw a situation where someone said, Terry, if I give you $50,000 and I get a 10-year annuity, I just buy a 10-year annuity, you don't even get your $50,000 back. So what are you buying? Safety from the insurance company? I'd rather put the money in a lockbox at my bank and go every month and take $300.
Mattress would be safer is what you're saying.
Well, because at least you'd get all your money back. If you put $50,000 under the mattress, you get it all back. This person was going to give a 10-year annuity, 10-year certain
payout. And how old were they?
They were in their 70s. I quoted it for him.
Yeah.
And when Rick and I added up the payments, the monthly payments, and multiplied times 120 months, 10 years, it didn't add up to the whole $50,000.
How's that possible?
Fees and commissions. That's how it's possible. There's fees and commissions.
And what happens
built
after
in.
10 years?
They were done. This was just a 10-year certain. I give you 50, just give me 10
payments. Oh, forget
that.
Sure, I'll give you money. Just don't give me
but
all of it.
That's my
back.
Example of how bad immediate annuities are right now.
Say no more. Okay, we're going to come back. We're going to take some more of your calls. Keyshore, give us a call back. Tom, we'll go to you next in Jupiter, Florida. I know you have a question or two. And we still have two lines open, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes from Lucia Capital Group taking your questions on Bucket Strategy Investing. Don't go away. There wasn't going to be. When I heard silence, oh, there we go. It's too late now. Trying to make up for it. All right, sorry about that. Technical things happen. That's okay.
We lost Huey.
No, we played three. Is only three hits.
Whoa!
Right?
Now stop.
I'm kidding. All right. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes sitting in here today with me for Professor Rick Plum. Professor will be back on Monday, and in the meantime, you have us today. And the reason, of course, is Terry's Professor Plum is in Las Vegas. Terry will join him at the workshop that's happening tomorrow in Las Vegas, Saturday, February 20th. You'd want to join the Brain Trust there in Las Vegas. We'd love to see you there. Terry, we've got a lot of folks signed up, and they'll make room for everybody.
I'm going to head over this afternoon and join Rick.
Yes, you
and
are.
We'll do the workshop at the Renaissance in Las Vegas tomorrow morning from 9 to about 11:30, and then we'll come back. But what are the odds, John? Let me ask you this. What are the odds I can get Rick Plum to buy me dinner in Las Vegas tonight?
If you go
statistically,
to
the, what are the odds?
If you go to the three, if you're willing to drive over to either Prim or Gene, there's a $3.99 buffet right off, right, a steak and everything right off the freeway.
He will buy it. So he'll spend $3.99.
Of course he will.
But what are the odds of Ruth Chris?
Nah, not going to happen.
Morton's.
All right. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Let's take a couple of calls, okay? Back to the phone lines. Tom, Jupiter, Florida. Thanks for hanging on, Tom. How can we help you today?
Good afternoon, fellas. I just have a question, trying to get clarification on exactly what purpose you could use after-tax money in your IRA for without it impacting your income for that year. I have approximately $60,000 of after-tax money in my IRA. And I read a small little article last week in the Wall Street Journal, and it made reference to the fact that you could use after-tax money to pay for college education. And the way it read in this little article, it said that if you immediately take the money out of your IRA and pay the college with after-tax money, it does not have to be claimed as income. Now, is that correct?
Explain to me what is your definition of after tax money? Are you doing a non deductible IRA? I don't understand what you mean.
You have $60,000 in your traditional IRA that's after tax, right?
Yeah. How did you get after tax money?
How is it in there? Is after tax money?
Yeah. I mean, what you do is when you put money in IRA, you deduct it.
Well, unless you make too much, you can have
That's a non-deductible IRA. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know. I just want to make sure we're getting our terminology right. If you own a whole bunch of non-deductible IRAs, you never deducted it, so there's no penalty for taking the money out. How old are you?
69.
Yeah, there's no issue here.
Well, let's just say I have $1 million in an IRA and $60,000 is after-tax contribution.
Yes.
Yeah, what you're looking to do is have it go directly from the IRA to pay the college where it doesn't count, where you're not saying I took, call it $60,000 of income this year, right?
Right, correct.
But if you never took a deduction for it in the first place because you made too much money, you're not going to pay taxes on it taking it out, especially if you're over 59 and a half. So I'm missing something.
Yeah, I'm missing something too. That's what I'm trying to get clarification.
No, you could. There's nothing wrong with it. You take the money and do whatever you want with it.
So yeah. I could take the $60,000 out of my IRA and not claim it on my income tax.
If it's post-tax money.
If it's post-tax, yes.
Yeah, they're not going to tax it twice. It's going to be, you know, you could put it in your checking account or whatever. As long as...
Now, wait a minute. There's earnings on this. So you've got to make sure, and maybe this is where your question is. I didn't want to, you know, make light of it, make it sound too simple. You know, you can only, you have to track the contributions to a non-deductible. The only reason you do a non, there's only two reasons you do a non-deductible IRA. Tax deferral or because you're doing the backdoor Roth.
Tax deferral.
Yeah, no, it's not that.
No. Yeah, okay. Well, then how much money have you earned and how long has this $60,000 been in as after-tax money?
You know, I really don't know. I've been retired for 14 years. And, you know, at one point, the IRA was substantial. It's, you know, after various different stock market experiences, it's, you know, maybe half of what it was. It's
okay, so this,
bucks now.
So this gets complicated because when you take withdrawals from an IRA, John, you've got to take pro rata withdrawals, first of all. Second of all, you've got earnings on that money. So
that, yeah, that's what I've been doing the last few years is taking pro rata. You know, if I, let's say I took $100,000 out, I take the pro rata amount, less the after tax withdrawals.
So right. what you're asking is take only the post-tax money and use that to pay for
college. No, you can't. I've never heard of that provision in the tax code. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I'm not a CPA. I've never heard of what the Wall Street Journal is referring to, a special provision for college tuition. There is in 401ks, but I've never heard of it. But leave us your information because no one knows more about this than Plum. I'll see if Professor Plum's ever in his 30 years heard of something like that. My initial answer would be take the distributions like you have been taking them, pro rata, report what you're supposed to report, and use any money you want to pay college tuition at that point. But I know of no special provision where you can elect to take just the $60,000 non pro rata because it's for college education. I've never heard of that.
Okay, so just to take the pro rata amount out is, you know, without dealing with this matter, is the only way to get that $60,000 out. You couldn't do it in a lump sum.
No, you have to pro rata all the time, or you can convert to a Roth if you want.
Well, you spend, but then you pay taxes on the entire...
Yeah, there's ramifications either way. I'm just throwing all the ideas out there. Leave us your information, Tom. I'm going to just for fun, I'm going to run it by Professor Plum this afternoon, and he'll probably call you today or tomorrow or so whenever it's convenient and see if he has an idea. I'll just have him call you to say hi anyways. How's that?
That's great. That's so kind of you.
No problem. We'd love to do it. Leave us your phone number, Tom. And that's a great question.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Boy, these are great questions. Yeah, Tom, hold on. Hold on. We'll get your information.
But again, I've never. Have you, John? You've been hosting the show. You're not a financial advisor.
Well, you've been hosting
the show all these years. I've never heard of it. But.
My first thought was that he had a non-deductible IRA with $60,000 in it and nothing else in that.
Right.
But what he's saying was it's $60,000 of post-tax money mingled with I don't even know if it was $1 million or what.
It sounded like a lot.
It sounded like a lot. Yeah. So there's a small proportion. What you do when you take, when you have post-tax money mingled with pre-tax money
pro
in
rata.
Your IRAs, when you're taking money out, it's all a pro rata distribution.
And it dwindles down over your whole lifetime, basically.
Yeah, it is. It does. So if you had $60,000 and you had a $600,000 IRA, but $60,000 of it was post-tax, when you take money out of it, if you
90,
took,
10.
If you, it's it. If you took a $1,000 out of it, you'd have what, $100 of post tax, and you pay tax on $90 of.
You did the 10% because the math was easy for me. See?
Yeah.
So, but it's not. A lot of times, it's like 17.5% or whatever, and you've got to do a pro rata 17.5% every
time.
Yeah,
and it's a little bit of a hassle, but that's kind of the way it is. So.
We've got clients doing it all over the country. It happens.
It does, but I would recommend that you have your financial advisor, CPA, or somebody help you out with it.
Because I now have an interesting dinner topic with Rick tonight. We can discuss this. Professor Plum, I can.
Do you ever stop talking about money, or is it strategy?
I talked about dinner. I'm actually more referring to the dinner than I am the money.
Okay. We're coming back with more. Believe it or not, there is more. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes in for Professor Plum today on Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes.
Who's that knocking at my door?
Were you requesting songs?
No, but I like the music selection today.
Okay.
Is that Andy? Who's doing it?
Daniel, probably. Well, it's a collaboration sometimes. I couldn't tell if it's Andy or Daniel, but anyway.
They discuss it maybe. Huh?
They may very well do that. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes in for Professor Plum today. Terry is going to be joining Professor tomorrow, which is where Terry is. I'm sorry, where Professor is right now in Las Vegas. For the workshop, I'll just remind you again, as we've been doing this all day since it is tomorrow, and it'll be a big deal in Las Vegas, Saturday the 20th, 9 o'clock in the morning, Renaissance Hotel, Terry Keyes, right?
Yes, 9 to 11:30.
Or right around there. I mean, you try to get people out of there by that time. Mm-hmm. But your chance to ask questions, that will be tomorrow after the presentation. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so after the presentation, they're going to leave plenty of time. And any question that you have does not have to be on the topics that they discuss.
No, and then we're going to change it up a little bit based on popular demand, let me say.
Feedback
that we got from people. So instead of just opening up with a general Q&A in the beginning, we get right into the topics and start to discuss them. However, throughout the entire workshop, anytime you have a question regarding that particular topic that we're on, you can raise your hand and ask it right during the workshop.
Sure, so absolutely.
Questions throughout now. And then at the end, we have a general Q&A at the end to kind of finish it. So it works well that way.
And I should tell you, too, because some people are shy. They don't even like to stand up and ask questions. They don't want to do it. You could, you know, in person, if you want to get personal, you could just go.
Well, it's funny you say that. You know what some people have done over the years with Rick and I? At the beginning of the workshop, they'll hand us like a little handwritten note because they're too shy. They don't want to stand up. So they'll have us, you know, just read the question aloud and answer it in front of the whole group. But just it's anonymous from who it came
perfectly
from.
Perfectly fine. Yeah. Perfectly fine. So
funny you brought that up.
Well, you know, because I know there are people who, when you say, okay, we're going to open up to questions and nobody wants to raise their, you know, or they kind of, you know, do the whole,
raise. That's how I am at public events.
I know, you're shy. You don't want anybody
last
to
last thing
look
I want to do is embarrass myself with a stupid question.
I could comment on that, and I'm not going to. You just
what
threw
a
me a
setup.
Softball.
What a setup, yeah.
Okay, 877-PLANNER. If you want to email us, it's wealthed.com, WEALTH. Oh, I didn't mention, besides Las Vegas tomorrow, you got
Seattle
on the week
27th.
From tomorrow on the 27th, and Phoenix AZ, thank you, on March 12th. So
yes, so I know for sure Seattle is the Hilton at the SeaTac Airport right on International Boulevard.
Okay.
And we help. We subsidize the parking there, and then Phoenix is always at the. I'm sure
the
it hasn't changed. The Marriott Desert Ridge Resort. There.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, North Scottsdale, basically.
Beautiful place. Okay. Yeah. Check wealthed.com. That's where you sign up. Wealthed.com. It's free. Believe it or not. Yeah. Okay. I want to get to an email here. This came in from DC, who had sent us another email earlier. But this one has to do with something. I'm going to bring this portion
DC
of it.
Is their initials or Washington, D.C.?
No, the D.C. is the name. They're from Oregon.
Okay.
There were a couple of questions, but I want to ask you the long-term care portion of this because this is one of your specialties.
Okay.
Wants to know, is long-term care insurance, are the premiums for LTC insurance payments deductible as a medical expense deduction on my taxes?
Okay. And the answer is generally is no. What they're referring to is healthcare expenses. Now, if you have actual healthcare expenses incurred as a result of a long-term care need, like a nursing home need or something, the actual expenses incurred can be applied against the percentage floor that the IRS gives you when you itemize deductions. So, A, you'd have to itemize deductions, and you'd have to take the percentage. You'd have to exceed the 7.5% of your adjusted?
Well, 10%, but if you're over 65 currently, it says
whatever. Refer to your CPA. Yes. That's the 7.5% is what I refer to.
Some of it is, it'll be 7.5% for a couple more years.
Right. Now, the actual premiums paid for a long-term care insurance policy are deductible, but there are limits that have been set by the government, preset limits, and they're based on your age. So normally, and I don't have the chart in front of me to answer the question exactly, but you just have to refer to your tax preparer, or you can get it right offline. They're easily accessible by just Googling it. But the younger you are, the less amount. So I'll give you just an example. These are not real numbers,
Sure.
Okay?
All right.
Between 55 and 60, up to, the number might be $2,000. So if you're paying, you and your wife are paying $5,000 a year for long-term care insurance and you're 57 years old, yeah, you can on your tax return take $2,000 of the $5,000 that you're paying annually.
Right.
When you're over 60, that number goes to like $4,000. When you're over 65, it goes up and up as you get older. So you can, at some point, you'll be able to deduct your whole premium if you're still continuing to pay the premiums. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so there are tax deductibles, but they have limits, basically, is the answer.
Okay.
Just like everything else.
All right. Well, DC, there's your answer right there.
I was against that initially when long-term care first came out years ago.
Against deducting?
Against putting limits on it. Oh. We want to encourage people to save for retirement. So what do? We give them tax deductibility, right? And you get a lot. You can deduct up to $17,000 to $22,000, you know, in 401ks, rough numbers. But I just think we really want people to save or to buy long-term care insurance so badly. Why won't we just let everything be deductible? I mean, that's the first thing a politician should do when they get into office at Congress or the Senate is let's encourage people to buy long-term care insurance.
Yeah, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They say, well, we have a savings crisis, we have a retirement crisis, we have a health care crisis,
but
we're not going to allow you to do anything about it.
And we're not going to get into politics here, but John, but if they don't buy care and they spend their assets down, where does the money come from? They go on Medicaid. Then it comes from the government anyways. We're going to subsidize it. They go into a Medicaid facility, and then the government pays the whole bill.
Sure.
So we're being penny wise and pound foolish as a government by not letting them deduct a $4,000 a year premium.
Because they don't have the right people in Congress that know how any of this stuff works.
That's what Donald Trump says. We have all the wrong people.
Well, I'm not giving endorsements here. Please.
I'm not endorsing Donald Trump, by the way, either.
No, please. Okay. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. If you have money questions, we'll be taking your calls, 877-752-6637. Terry Keyes, you're here. Chartered Financial Consultant, you're here in Rick Plum's stead. Plum is in Las Vegas. I wanted you to talk for just a second about some of the things that you're going to be bringing up at these workshops.
Okay.
Now, we had brought up...
in the first hour.
Yes. Now, a lot of people probably weren't listening or watching back then because it was a while back. Lifetime income, that's going to be one of them, correct? Mm-hmm.
Pros and cons, everything you need to know about whether or not you should consider lifetime income and all the pitfalls and mistakes to avoid.
Yeah, okay. And not only pitfalls to avoid, but the things to look out for as far as what you're being pitched.
Buyer beware.
Absolutely.
Secondly.
You mentioned Social Security strategies.
Right. And again, all the things to consider and why you would choose which strategy. Okay.
Which age? Age 62.
Based on your health. Are you married or single? Who has the bigger benefit? What's the age difference? All those things.
Yeah. In fact, some of the stuff that we covered with a couple of callers earlier.
Checkbox. Another thing you walk away from our workshop, you know, feeling very comfortable about, you know, having a discussion about pre-retirement or post-retirement about your Social Security strategy.
Okay. So besides those, there are a couple others that you're going to be covering that we haven't mentioned.
One of those
is alternative investments.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Johnny.
How did I know?
What are alternative investments? So first of all, we're going to teach the group what is an alternative investment. How do alternative investments work? What type of investments or what type of assets are purchased inside alternative investments? Where would they fit in your retirement strategy? How do the taxes on alternative investments work? Should you consider alternative investments at all? And if so, how much of your portfolio should be allocated to alternative investments? All those types of things are going to be addressed under the subject of alternative investments. And I think it's another really important topic that people have to understand.
Yeah, you hear the term alternative investments kicked around, and I suppose that covers such a wide range of different things. The way I look at it is, and I think Plum does too, and you probably do too, is anything that's not a stock, a bond, or let's call it cash.
Right, money market.
Other form of, which covers a whole bunch of things. What are some examples of, when you say alternative investments?
Oil and gas investments. Real estate investments, lending, business development companies, lending investments where you're the lender. You know, if you have a lot of money in retirement, $1 million in your IRA, when you want to lend 50,000 of it, you can do it through a lending trust rather than go out. I don't want to go out and make a personal loan and wait for that one person to pay me back.
Why not
put it into a $1 billion trust that's lending money to qualified corporations all over the United States and charging 9% or 10% interest? You know, so that's another alternative investment. There's
real
lots
estate,
of, like I said, oil and gas, energy, solar, tax lien loans.
Are the risks greater in things like this? Because sometimes people look at those and go, wow, that sounds really out there. It sounds to me like
it's
one of those.
There are different levels of risk within the alternative category. So there are some alternative investments that may not be riskier than the stock market. All depend. That's all. It's all relative, and it's very subjective. There are some that I guarantee you are more, way more risky than other types of traditional investments. So it just depends. Are you getting into leverage? Are you getting into the energy sector? How are they doing what they're doing with the alternative investment? It's not just the asset. It's the method that they're using.
We got to take a break, but one of the reasons why you would consider an alternative investment is to give yourself, perhaps, as maybe some of your assets are going one direction, they could perhaps go another direction.
I like alternative investments for two main reasons.
Okay.
And all of the people that we work with probably understand this. Income, an additional source of income in retirement, because the alternative investments I like spit off income on a regular basis.
All right.
So we get another source of income in retirement. And then secondly, a non-correlation to the traditional stock market. So when the Dow and the S&P are doing all this up and down, these things aren't moving. Real estate may not be moving at all.
Okay. All right. Good. We got more to talk about. We have some trivia coming up. We've got emails. We got phone calls. And a couple more things for the workshops. 877-PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes. It's Bucket Strategy Investing.
It's only Danish, though, isn't it?
You're talking over faces here, over Rod Stewart. Yeah, every Friday, I should tell you, we play Rod Stewart faces. Stay with me, because it's just one of the great all-time intro.
I'm a Maggie May fan myself.
Okay, well, Maggie May, that works too, but this is prior to that. This is like 1970. Okay.
I can do Maggie May with a scratchy voice. I can sound just like him. Anytime we're at a party, if you want me to step up and do it, I will, John.
Well,
you've got my commitment right now.
You're going to have the chance tomorrow in Las Vegas. We kind of been telling you about this all day. Professor Plum is in Las Vegas today. That's why Terry Keyes, chartered financial consultant, is here. Terry's really a professional guy, despite the fact that he's wearing a plaid shirt. If you're watching on TV, you can see that. Mm-hmm. But they'll be talking about all kinds of things at the workshop tomorrow. I just wanted to make sure that everybody understands this. Lifetime income, Social Security strategies, managed portfolios. In fact, we haven't even talked about that yet. We'll tell you about that in a second. Coming up Monday on this program, Professor Plum will return. Here's something that came up, I think it was in yesterday's show, and it's all about understanding tax brackets and how they work. It also came up in this hour, Terry Keyes, understanding that your tax bracket is not what you're actually paying.
Yep.
And why do you need to know this stuff? You need to know it because it's all part of planning. A big tax bill in retirement is like taking a cut in pay. So we'll talk about that with Professor Plum on Monday.
Okay, now before we get started, for the record, I've got to set the record straight. Okay, it's the last segment of the day.
Yes, Terry Keyes.
At the Lucia Capital Group today, it is Casual Friday. We don't have them every Friday like other companies do. It's a special treat here. We get them like once a month if we behave. So if we all are well behaved, which apparently we were, because we had an email this week saying this Friday would be Casual Friday. So I'm dressed nice and casual like this for everybody, for the record, because it is a Casual Friday. And
you're going to go back to your office
for Lucia Capital. I'm going to get on an airplane and go see Rick, but I was allowed to come in this way. So for everybody watching that loves this outfit today, I want you to email Jlucia, J-L-U-C-I-A, at luciacap.com, and tell them how you thought Terry looked good casual today. Is that fair?
Okay, that's fine. Radio people have no idea what you're saying.
No, for everybody on the radio, you can't see. I've got my plaid shirt on, and John, that's full disclosure. We're both wearing jeans today, okay? It's Jeans Friday here, so.
No, sure, I understand.
Okay.
You know, at least I got the jacket and tie.
Yes, you've got that weird look when you walk down the hallway where people wonder, why is the guy wearing jeans with a shirt and tie?
Yeah. All right, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Before we get to the next segment here, yes, Terry.
What do you have? What do you have? Trivia.
Trivia. I don't know. It's trivia.
You always forget, and today you did not forget because you know I love trivia. So.
I would never forget trivia when you are on the show. This comes from the National Association of Home Builders, another fun bunch. The building of an average single-family home creates the equivalent of 2.97 jobs for a full year. The building of an average rental apartment creates the equivalent of 1.13 jobs for a full year. How do they discern that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, here's my math. It takes about 3 to 4 months to build a home, okay? From the time they pour the concrete. It could take maybe 5. So if they build 2 to 3 a year, this probably takes about 8 to 10 people to build a home.
Yeah.
So they just do the math there, and that's how it takes the equivalent of 2.97 people or whatever. See what I'm saying?
I get it.
They do the math on how many people are on the job every day, you know.
It takes a heap of loving to make a house a home.
I've got some trivia for you.
Okay, go right ahead. Why not?
You know, you know Barack Obama is going to Cuba?
Yeah.
When was the last time, and who was it, that a U.S. president visited Cuba?
Well, it would have to be Eisenhower, I would assume, or Truman.
No. Adam, go ahead and shout it out if you know. We'll let you do it. No, it does Adam?
You're saying somebody went post-1960?
It was 90 years ago. Who was president 90 years ago?
Well, what is today?
2016.
90 years ago, that makes it 1925. That would be a Silent Cal or a Herbert Hoover.
Say it again. First one.
Cal Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge was the last president to go to Cuba. Useless. I'm full of useless information.
Yep. Okay. Nobody had reason to go.
And To Kill a Mockingbird, we might as well bring that up well before the show ends today. What happened last night, this morning?
Harper Lee.
Passed away.
Okay.
Age 89, I believe.
Wow. Terry, I'm telling you, you are all over the place.
This is what you get when you get up at 4:30 in the morning and start watching the news. You pick up information like this, John. I highly suggest it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You want to join Terry tomorrow. They will stay on topic, I guarantee it. Because Professor Plum will be there to keep everybody in line.
He does. He keeps me in line.
This is, again, Las Vegas tomorrow.
Yep.
Renaissance, be there. Lifetime income, you'll be talking about alternatives. Mentioned those. Social Security strategies, when to take it. One last thing, if you don't mind, just very quickly covering this. Managed portfolios, when you're talking about that, what are you talking about?
When you're investing in certain investments like your equities market or a fixed income or something, you have a choice. You could buy mutual funds, you could buy unit investment trust, or you could consider professionally managed portfolios. Big pension funds and retirement accounts, they don't tend to use mutual funds. They tend to invest using professional management companies. So a company that specializes in maybe picking large cap stocks or small or mid cap stocks or international investments. And then the subject also comes up with, well, first of all, should I, am I a candidate to consider professional management? What are the pros and cons? What are the costs associated with professional money management? And then the subject that always comes up that you like, John, is active versus passive management. Professionally managed portfolios are actively managed. Someone's keeping an eye on everything in the portfolio every day and making a decision to buy more, sell it, keep it, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's active management.
You have the other side of it too, the passive management side.
Buy the S&P 500 ETF and hold it. That's passive.
Now, you're buying an ETF, somebody's managing
that ETF. No, all they do is they own whatever the S&P 500 is and they stay that way. The only time anything changes in an S&P 500 portfolio is if something leaves the S&P 500 and someone new comes in.
So they're not even looking at it. Nobody's
that's
even
why they're the least inexpensive way to invest. If you look at ETFs of the S&P 500, it's the least expense of any ETF there is because there's really nothing to do. I mean, you could hire a college student.
The whole argument too, which we don't have time to get into, we ain't got a minute, but active versus passive. You have people who are passionate on both sides. Always go with active. Active always beats passive. It's not true. There are times when active management does beat the passive side, and then there are other times when passive management trumps active.
Real quick, I want to touch cost before we end the show here, okay?
All right.
It drives me nuts. Another pet peeve of me is when you go to a cocktail party and you ask your friends, what do you pay for your money management, your financial advisor? Well, he only charges me 1%.
Yeah,
that's just the financial advisor's fee. No one ever fully discloses, all right, well, what does he buy you, though? If he buys you a mutual fund, what's the fee inside the mutual fund? Because your 1% is on top of that.
Of course it is.
And you've got to be aware of that. So we discuss that a lot, too.
You discuss that. There are fees in just about every product that you buy,
absolutely,
whether you know it or not.
Yeah,
CDs.
So if your financial advisor is charging you 1%, that's good. But that's only half the story.
Yeah, and you can learn more about this. You can meet Terry Keyes and Professor Plum. What better chance to do this?
You know,
tomorrow?
And Rick and I are going to sign autographs tomorrow for free. We're not going to charge. We normally do.
Oh, you
tomorrow's,
do not.
Oh, sorry.
He's kidding.
All right, sorry.
Tomorrow, if you want to talk to Terry or any of the Brain Trust advisors from Lucia Capital Group off the air, here's their number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. I thank Terry Keyes for sitting in for Professor Rick Plum. I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented,
Indiana, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.